Amen. All right, well, we're there in Philippians chapter number 3. And of course, today is the last day, the last Sunday of the year. And it's a good way to end the year, to be in the house of God, of course. And I want to encourage you to start the year off right by being in the house of God next Sunday, on the first Sunday of the year. And usually at the end of the year, I like to preach a sermon, not every year, but often on the idea of setting goals and having looking forward to the new year. And this morning I want to preach to you on the subject of how to set and achieve goals. How to set and achieve goals. And we're there in Proverbs chapter number 3. If you look at verse number 12, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said. Now, the Apostle Paul was a very successful man, someone that's succeeded personally, spiritually, and in his ministry, his business. And in Philippians 3 and verse 12, he says this. He says, not as though I had already attained. The word attained means to have succeeded in achieving or reaching something. He says, not as though I have already attained. Either were already perfect. The word perfect in our King James Bible means complete or mature. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says this in verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. The word apprehend, again, means to achieve, to attain, to grasp. And here we have the Apostle Paul, who was arguably the most successful Christian, church planner, evangelist, missionary the world has ever known. And he says, look, I have not apprehended. I have not already attained. I am not perfect, complete, mature. And he says, I've got things that I can work on, things that I can get better at. And as we begin a new year and end an old year, I think we're all ready to put 2020 in the books. We're all ready to move on from this year. The new year is a great time to take inventory of where you are and where you are lacking. It's a good time to take some inventory and really look inside of yourself and look at yourself and look at your family and ask yourself, where am I in life? Where am I spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally? And where is it that I am lacking? Now, sometimes when you preach these types of sermons, some people check out and they think, I don't need that. I'm good to go. You know, and, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, except if you're the person who thinks I don't need to work on myself, then you are foolish. And if you don't know where you need to work on yourself, then just ask your spouse or ask your kids or ask me. I'd be happy to tell you if you would ask me. And all of us have something we can work on. All of us. Now, look, none of us have attained. No one is already perfect. No one has apprehended. And the new year is a great time for a fresh start. The end of a year is a great time to take inventory, to see where we are and where we're lacking. And the new year is a great time for a fresh start, to leave the past behind and work towards getting better. Notice what he says there again in verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. And then he says this, because sometimes when you bring this stuff up, some people, they tend to negativity, right? So you say, hey, you're not perfect. And they're like, I know, you know. I'm not saying you're not perfect to hurt your feelings. I am saying you're not perfect to motivate you, because notice the Apostle Paul says he wasn't throwing a pity party. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He says, but I follow after. He says, look, I realize that I've got things that I can do, things that I can work on, and because of that, I follow after. That phrase means I keep working at it. I'm following after a goal. I've got something I want to do. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Notice, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Look, let me tell you something about your past. You can't redo it. You know, whatever you did or didn't do in 2020, whatever you did or didn't do in the last decade, whatever you did or didn't do in your marriage or raising your children, I'm not trying to excuse it for you, but I'm telling you this, there's no point in dwelling on it. You say, well, there's a lot of mistakes, there's a lot of things that could have been done better. Well, let that motivate you to follow after. Let that motivate you to do more, to be better, to grow. Paul had so many regrets that he could have told us about. He spent so many years on the wrong team, persecuting the church of God and working in the wrong way. And he says, you know what? What I've learned is that I need to forget those things which are behind. He says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So I want to speak to you this morning on this subject of how to set and achieve goals. And what I want to do this morning, and this is going to be a very, very practical sermon, I'd encourage you to take some notes. I've got two parts to the sermon. The first part has to do with how to set goals. And I'll give you four thoughts on how to set goals. And then the second part has to do with how to achieve goals. And I'm going to give you four thoughts in regards to how to achieve goals. And I'd encourage you to write these down. And I'd encourage you to really take this seriously. And over the next week, as we end this year and begin the new, to set some goals for yourself to, and you can call them whatever you want, you know, goals, resolutions, whatever. But the point is this, we all should be working on ourselves. So let's talk about setting goals. Notice verse 14. In verses 12 and 13, he tells us how he has not yet attained, how he was not already perfect, how he has not yet apprehended. And he also tells us in verses 12 and 13, he says that I follow after. I'm continually working at it. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Then he says this in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark. The word mark is referring to a target or a goal. The Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize there is the reward or the result. He says, look, and honestly, if we look at the Apostle Paul and we say, how is it that one man could accomplish so much? He's telling us a secret to success here. He says, I'm constantly pressing toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I would just encourage you, you need to have some goals. You need to have a mark. You need to have some purpose to life, somewhere you're heading towards and working towards. You should set up some goals. So when it comes to setting up some goals, I want to give you just four thoughts on how to set up some proper goals. Because what I've learned is that oftentimes we don't know how to set up good goals. We set up bad goals, and then we fail at those goals. And a lot of it has to do with how we set them up to begin with. So let me give you four thoughts in regards to how to set up goals, and maybe you can jot these down. Number one, make your goals specific, not general. Make your goals specific, not general. Now, over the years, I preached several sermons on the subject of goal setting and things like this. And many of you have heard those sermons. And you say, why are you preaching them again? Because you're still not there. Because you still need the help, and I need the help. But, you know, I will say this. Over the last several years, I've usually used weight loss as the example for the goals. And the reason I like to use weight loss is because it's something that people have a lot of goals about. So probably the number one goal that people set for the new year, resolution for the new year. It's also something that's simple for us to kind of wrap our minds around. But you know, what I've noticed is that when I do the weight loss goal, it rarely goes over well. You know, usually people check out just because they don't want to hear it. So I'm going to use a different example this year, all right? So some of you are like, here comes the weight loss. Here comes all the weight jokes, okay? I'm not going to use weight loss as an example for the sermon this year. I'll use a different example. But, you know, something that when we started 2020, something my wife and I had, and you know this, one of our personal goals for 2020, we had lots of goals. And I won't go through and talk about all our goals. I will say this, we did not accomplish all of our goals, but the Lord allowed us to. I was just last night, I was going back and kind of looking at notes and goals that we had for ourselves personally, and then goals we had for the church. And we did accomplish about 80% of our goals, which I'm thankful for. We did not accomplish all our goals. So I'm not standing up here telling you I've got it all, you know, put together. Part of this is motivating me to do better, to be better. But one of our goals that my wife and I had as we were going into 2020 was to produce a children's book. And, you know, we had a goal of producing one children's book in 2020. By the grace of God, we produced two. And we're thankful for that and praise the Lord for that, of course. And, you know, when it comes to making a goal or having a goal. Your goals should be specific, not general. So here's the example. In 2020, my wife and I sold somewhere around 500 books between book one and book two. And this is not having anything to do with church. This is just our personal little side business that we've got. And we sold around 500 books. And that's not a lot, but it's, you know, for those of you wondering, the average self-publisher, studies tell us that the average self-published book sells somewhere between 50 and 100 books in the lifespan of that book. So someone self-publishes a book and they will sell, the average sells between 50 and 100. So the fact that we were able to sell 500 in the first year is great. We're not Dr. Seuss, but it's a good start. When we talk about making goals specific and not general, here's the point. You know, if my wife and I, and we were talking about it last night, sit down and say, okay, well, in 2020 we sold around 500 books. So next year we want to sell more books. Well, here's the problem. That's too general. That's not specific. You want to sell more books? What does that mean? You know, a specific goal is, hey, last year we sold around 500 books. In 2020, so in 2021, let's sell another 500 books. You know, or maybe let's sell 750 books. Or let's try to have a goal of selling 1,000 books. You know, the point is to be specific. Or we might say, well, in 2021, we don't plan on creating another book. You know, we want to just focus on the two that we've got. So since we're not creating new content, maybe a goal would be to sell 400 books of the ones that we've already sold. Because obviously, if you've already sold 500 of book one and book two, to sell another 400 means you have to find 400 new customers. You know, the point is to be specific when you're making a goal. See, sometimes people say, oh, I don't set goals, that doesn't work. But people, they set these goals, and they're these just generic, general goals. You know, people say, oh, in 2021, you know, I want to lose some weight. Okay, some of you are like, I thought you said you were going to bring up weight. Sorry, I can't help myself. You know, but here's the question. You want to lose weight? Great. I think that's a great goal. But how much weight? Be specific. It may require you getting on a scale. It may require you just looking at some, you know, documenting some facts and say, okay, well, you know, you say, well, I've had a goal of losing weight for the last 17 years every new year. Okay, but maybe if you get specific and say, my goal is to lose X amount of pounds in 2021. You say, I want to save some money in the new year. Great. How much money do you want to save in the new year? I want to get out of debt in the new year. Good. How much debt do you want? Some people, you ask them how much debt you're in, they don't even know. Not even sure how much debt they're in. Maybe you need to print some statements, open up some bills, figure out how much debt you're in, and ask yourself, you know, how much debt could I pay off in the coming year? If you are in business or in sales, you might say, well, I want to sell more books. I want to sell more cars. I want to sell more houses. I want to sell more of my service. I want to gain more clients. I want to do this. Okay, great. But here's what I'm saying. Don't go into next year saying, I want to get more clients. Go into next year saying, I want 50 new clients. Don't go into next year, I want to sell more cars. Okay, how many cars do you want to sell? How many houses do you want to sell? How many books do you want to sell? The point of a goal is to make it specific, not general. You go into the next year saying, I want to read the Bible more. Okay, well, what does that mean? 2 times a year? 3 times a year? For some of you, and I'm not beating up on you, I'm saying, here's a good goal. A good goal would be I just want to read the Bible cover to cover next year. I think that's a great goal. You got to make that goal. But look, there's a difference between saying, I want to read the Bible next year versus I want to read the Bible cover to cover next year. One's very general and generic. The other one's very specific. You need to make sure that your goals are specific, not general. Sometimes people make goals like this. They say, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better sibling, or I want to be a better son or better daughter. I want to be a better employee, or I want to be a better employer. And look, all of those are great ideas. I'm not trying to discourage you from that. And I'm going to get back to this later on in the sermon. But just understand this. I want to be a better mom is too general. You say, well, how do I know when a goal is specific? Here's how you know when a goal is specific. When it's specific enough for you to be able to know when you have accomplished the goal. See, if my wife and I say, in 2021, we want to sell more books. Okay, well, when have we accomplished that? When we've sold one book? Done. You know, but if we say, hey, in 2021, we're going to sell 400 books. Well, look, that's real easy to track. Once we get to 400, 401, hey, we accomplished our goal. We did what we set out to do. The problem with these types of goals, I want to be a better dad. Okay, well, when are you a better dad? In 2021, I want to be a better mother. Okay, well, when are you a better mother? Are you gonna survey the children? Children, am I now a better mother? You know, and again, I'm not against that. I think you should try to be a better husband. I think you should try to be a better wife. I think you should try to be a better husband and father and all those things. But just understand this, that sometimes we make goals that are too general. And here's what I think. Sometimes we want them to be general. Because specific goals are accountable goals. And if I never get on the scale, there I go again. And if I never jot down, I need to lose 25 pounds this year. I need to lose 50 pounds this year. I need to lose 35 pounds this year. And we just kind of leave it kind of, you know, just kind of goes up into the cloud somewhere. And it's just like, I want to lose some weight this year. Then I'm not really accountable for anything. And that's fine if you want to be where you are in the same place in life 1 year later. But if you actually want to press toward the mark, then you got to make your goals, number one, specific and not general. Specific means you'll know when you accomplished it. Here's number two. We're talking about how to set goals. Number one, make your goals specific, not general. Number two, make your goals difficult yet attainable. Make your goals difficult yet attainable. Some goals are so easy that they are a joke. Other goals are so difficult that you're setting yourself up for failure. Your goals should be difficult. They should stretch you. But they should be attainable. Again, since my wife and I sold somewhere around 500 books in 2020, talking about the personal books that we've wrote, you know, then it may be appropriate for us to say, yeah, let's try to sell another 500 books, 400 books, 700 books. You know, it would be silly for us to say, hey, honey, in our first year, we sold 500 books. In 2021, we're going to sell 1 million. You know, it's like, come on. You know, sometimes we set these goals. You know, maybe people get this idea, I'm going to do this, I'm going to accomplish this, and they have these super big goals. Look, have goals that are difficult yet attainable. Difficult yet attainable. Don't make them so easy that they're a joke, but don't make them so difficult that there's no way that you can actually accomplish them. Look, have a goal of reading the Bible cover to cover this year. I think everyone should at least have that goal. You should just jot that down. Read the Bible cover to cover in 2021. You know, some of you could read the Bible cover to cover twice next year. It's easy to have a goal. It's not easy, let me say. It's attainable to have a goal of reading the Bible cover to cover 3 years, 3 times in a year, 4 times in a year. You know, people tell me, I'm going to read the Bible 22 times next year. It's like, shut up. Are you on monk? You know, have you ever read the Bible? You're not going to read the Bible 20 times in 1 year. You're not going to read the Bible 10 times in 1 year. You got to make sure that your goals are difficult, yet attainable. Number three, make your goals short term. And look, this is my opinion. And I do a lot of reading on subjects like that. I like reading business books, leadership books, you know, best practices type of books, and you know, you'll see that in the sermon. I've got things I want to read to you and things like that. In my opinion, it is best to set short-term, not long-term goals. And again, this is just my opinion, but if I were you, what I would do is I would set quarterly goals. Sometimes the problem that people have in the new year is they set these one-year goals, but a year is often too long to strive for one goal. Some of you set goals last year, and you can't even remember what they were. And you dead sure can't find the piece of paper you wrote them on. A year is often too long to strive for one goal. You're likely to forget about it. You're likely to just get busy with life. So I believe it is best to set quarterly goals, 12-week goals. And the cool thing about setting quarterly goals is that you get to have a new year every 12 weeks. Every 12 weeks, you get to look at a sheet of paper and say, yep, we did that. Yeah, we accomplished that. Yeah, we got there. Yeah, we did that. And then set new goals for the next year. And obviously, if you've got quarterly goals, you're not going to have some big, huge goal. But I think short-term goals, goals that you're able to get to in a small amount of time, have that victory, are more likely to be won. Go to Proverbs 29, if you would, if you open up your Bible, just keep your place in Philippians, because we're going to come back to it, and go to Proverbs. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely to follow the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 29. Let me give you the fourth point in regards to setting goals. Number one, make your goals specific, not general. Number two, make your goals difficult, yet attainable. Number three, make your goals short-term. Short-term goals. So again, for example, if my wife and I have a goal of selling 400 books next year, then our goal would be to sell 100 books in the first quarter, another 100 in the second quarter, another 100 in the third quarter, another 100 in the fourth quarter. Here's the other thing. Short-term goals allow you to adjust. I mean, if we end up selling 350 books in the first quarter, then we're like, hey, maybe our goal was a little too short, too small. Maybe we should make, if we end up selling 50 books in the first quarter, then we might say, well, maybe it was too difficult to find that many customers that already don't have book one and book two or whatever. The point is this, when you have short-term goals, it allows you to see the finish line sooner. It allows you to make adjustments. A year is just often too long to strive for one goal. You're likely to forget about it. I believe it's better to set quarterly goals. I would encourage you to set a goal for January, February, March. If your goal, for example, let's say your goal is to read the Bible cover to cover in 2021. You know, nothing crazy. You're not going to read it two times or three times or four times, although many of you could have that goal. But if you say, I just want to read it cover to cover. Well, look, then here's goal number one. Read 9 chapters a day in the month of January and knock out the New Testament. You knock out 1/3 of the Bible in the first month of the year. Now you've got 11 months to finish the Old Testament, 2/3 of the Bible. We've got a chart for you coming. Oh, it's already here, but we haven't given it to you. That allows you to read the Old Testament starting Genesis 1, February 1st through December 31st. Read the Old Testament. You read 20% of the Old Testament in February and March, and you're on track to read the Bible cover to cover. Have your goals short term. Number four. Make your goals small, not large. And again, kind of going with this idea. Break it up. Take that big year-long goal and break it into smaller goals. Have small, short-term goals that add up to big, long-term goals. I mean, maybe you need to lose 40 pounds next year. But your goal could be to lose 10 pounds in the first quarter of the year. Proverbs 29, are you there? Look at verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18, the Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Look, when it comes to setting up goals, you need to get a vision. Get a vision for how things could be. Get a vision for what your spiritual life could be like. Get a vision for what your financial life could be like, your health could be like, your relationship with your spouse or with your children. Look, your business. Get a vision. Dream a little bit. Say, because the Bible says, look, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision for what God can do. And obviously, I have a different life than you have a different life. I have goals and things that I want to do for our church and personally with our family. You may have a different business or a different career or different things going on, but you ought to get a vision. You ought to set a mark. You ought to have some purpose. You will waste next year if you don't have any direction that you're heading to. So set some goals. I don't know how to set some goals. Okay, well, make your goals specific, not general. Make your goals difficult yet attainable. Make your goals short-term, not long-term. And I like 12-week goals. Make your goals small, not large. Break them up into bite-sized portions. and get a vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. Go to Proverbs 24, if you would. You're there in Proverbs 29. Flip over to Proverbs 24. So the first part of the sermon and the shorter part of the sermon have to do with how to set goals. The second part of this sermon, and what I would like to focus on, is how to achieve goals. Because setting the goal gives you purpose. It gives you a purpose for where you're going. But achieving the goal requires practice, requires practicality, requires you actually doing things to get that goal. Setting a goal and achieving goals are two different things. Some of you are like, well, Pastor, I've listened to your goal-setting sermons, and I set all those goals. I did all that. I made them specific. I made them general. I wrote them down, and then I put them on my refrigerator, and I'm still fat. I'm still broke. I'm still carnal. Well, here's the thing. It's good to set goals, but you also need to work at achieving those goals. You can't just put a goal on a piece of paper and expect for it to set itself to achieve itself. So four steps to setting a goal. Make your goals specific, not general. Make your goals difficult, yet attainable. Make your goals short-term, not long-term. Make your goals small, not big. Let me give you four thoughts in regards to how to achieve goals. Number one, figure out the steps needed to achieve your goals. Once you've taken the time to dream a little, to get a vision, to say, you know, well, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to accomplish. Okay, now you're not done. Now you need to dig into that goal. Now you need to dig into that goal and ask yourself, okay, if I'm going to sell 100 books in the first 3 months, if my wife and I are going to sell 100 books in the first 3 months of the year, if I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the first 3 months of next year, if I'm going to read the Bible 2 times next year, which means that I need to read half the Bible in the first quarter of the year, if I'm going to grow my business, if I'm going to expand, if I'm going to hire more employees, if I'm going to do these things, then I need to dig in and figure out what are the steps needed to achieve your goals. You must define the steps. Are you there in Proverbs 24? Look at verse 27. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare thy work without. Without means outside. And make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. And of course, this is a proverb that is teaching us, it's a wise statement that's teaching us a concept. But the concept is this: you don't show up to a field and just start building a house. You have to prepare before you get there. Before you even step foot on the field, he says, prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field. Here's what he's saying: outside of the job site, before you get to the job site, before you get there, you know, figure out what you need. What building materials are you, what tools are you going to need? What are you going to need to build this house? Get ready. And when it comes to building in your life, you need to realize that there's some things that you're going to require. There's some things you're going to need. You need to figure out what steps are needed to achieve this goal. Keep your place there in Proverbs. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You need to define the steps. Define the steps. Clear and effective steps. Turn to Philippians, but I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Clear and effective steps towards a goal are the key to successfully achieving that goal. Not the goal itself. In fact, if you can figure out how to get the clear and effective steps and never even write down a goal, you're more likely to achieve it. Clear and effective steps towards a goal are the key to successfully achieving a goal, not the goal itself. Jim Rohn, who's an entrepreneur and author and speaker, he's dead. He wrote lots on business and things like that. He said this: success is a few simple disciplines practiced every day, while failure is simply a few errors in judgment repeated every day. If you want to achieve, if you want to succeed, if you want to get your goals, you need to figure out, what is it that I need to do every day? What is it that I need to do every day? If I want to memorize a book of the Bible, I don't write that down on a piece of paper and then just, okay, Lord, help me memorize it by osmosis. You know, I got to figure out, what am I going to do every day to achieve that goal? If I want to read the Bible, if I want to build a business, whatever it is, clear and effective steps towards a goal are the key to successfully achieving a goal, not the goal itself. James Clear, author of Atomic Habits, I'm going to read to you a little excerpt from that book here in a minute. He said this, this is why the system is greater than the goal. The goals are good. Set the goals. I'm all for goals. But the systems developed to reach that goal are more important. The systems is greater than the goal. I mean, my wife and I could jot down on a piece of paper, this time last year, we did jot down a piece of paper, we have a goal to write a children's book. Okay, what kind of a children's book? My wife's going to write it, and I'm going to illustrate it, and we're going to do it. You know, we can sit there and write it down and plan it and put it on a refrigerator door somewhere, but look, that book's not going to write itself. It required effort, energy. It required a bunch of small goals. You know, well, you're going to write the first draft by this time, and then we're going to edit it down, and then we're going to edit it down, and then, you know, we have to figure out, well, how is this book going to be laid out? How many pictures are going to be needed? What kind of pictures are going to be needed? Okay, we need these many pictures. Well, this, if we're going to have this goal, this book done by this time, then these pictures need to be done by this time, and these pictures need to be done by this time. And look, here's all I'm telling you. Writing a children's book, and again, you may not want to write a children's book. I understand that. That's fine. That's just something we wanted to do. But the point is this. We could write that down. We could write that plan. But you know what it took? It took hours at night. It took time after we put the kids to bed to say, okay, you work downstairs. I'll work upstairs. You know, write and edit and think and write and proofread and do those things and I'll draw. And it took time to actually accomplish the goal. Wishing never accomplished anything. Only working does. So figure out the steps needed to achieve your goals. Define those steps. Define what it's going to take to lose weight, save money, get out of debt, start a business, hire an employee, get more sales. Figure out what it means. Figure out what you have to do. Then I would say this, not only should you define the steps, but you should refine the steps. Refine the steps. If you would allow me to, I'd like to read to you a little excerpt from a book called Atomic Habits. It's written by a guy named James Clear, and it's under the heading of This Coach Improved Every Tiny Thing by 1%, and Here's What Happened. And I'll just read this to you, and it'll kind of make the point. The fate of British cycling changed one day in 2003. The organization, which was the governing body for professional cycling in Great Britain, had recently hired Dave Brailsford as its new performance director. At the time, professional cyclists in Great Britain had endured nearly 100 years of mediocrity. Since 1908, British riders had won just a single gold medal at the Olympic Games, and they had fared even worse in cycling's biggest race, the Tour de France. In 110 years, no British cyclist had ever won the event. Brailsford had been hired to put British cycling on a new trajectory. What made him different from previous coaches was his relentless commitment to a strategy that he referred to as the aggregation of marginal gains, which was the philosophy of searching for a tiny margin of improvement in everything you do. Brailsford and his coaches began by making small adjustments you might expect from a professional cycling team. They redesigned the bike seats to make them more comfortable and rubbed alcohol on the tires for a better grip. They asked riders to wear electrically heated overshorts to maintain ideal muscle temperature while riding and use biofeedback sensors to monitor how each athlete responded to a particular workout. The team tested various fabrics in a wind tunnel and had their outdoor riders switch to indoor racing suits, which proved to be lighter and more aerodynamic. But they didn't stop there. Brailsford and his team continued to find 1% improvements in overlooked and unexpected areas. They tested different types of massage gels to see which one led to the fastest muscle recovery. They hired a surgeon to teach each rider the best way to wash their hands and reduce the changes of the chances of catching a cold. They determined the type of pillow and mattress that led to the best night's sleep for each rider. They even painted the inside of the team truck, which helped them spot little bits of dust that would normally slip by unnoticed but could degrade the performance of the finely tuned bikes. As these and hundreds of other small improvements accumulated, the results came faster than anyone could have imagined. Just 5 years after Brailsford took over, the British cycling team dominated the road and track cycling events at the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, where they won an astounding 60% of the gold medals available. 4 years later, when the Olympic Games came to London, the Brits raised the bar as they set 9 Olympic records and 7 world records. That same year, Bradley Wiggins became the first British cyclist to win the Tour de France. The next year, his teammate Chris Froome won the race, and he would go on to win again in 2015, 16, and 17, giving the British team 5 Tour de France victories in 6 years. During the 10-year span from 2007 to 2017, British cyclists won 178 world championships and 66 Olympic and Paralympic gold medals and captured 5 Tour de France victories in what is widely regarded as the most successful run in cycling history. And I read all that to just say this. In sports, it's easy, like cycling, to understand what the goal is. Because everybody has the same goal, right? I mean, everybody that gets on a bike at the Tour de France has a goal of winning the race. Every football team has a goal of winning the championship. Every baseball team has a goal of winning the World Series. Every football team has a goal of winning the Super Bowl. Everybody in sports, everybody has the same goal. So what makes the difference is not who has the most effective goal. They all have the same goal. You say, what makes the difference? Here's what makes the difference. The steps they take to achieve those goals. There's a reason why some people just succeed in the same area. Look, every area of life has people that are just better than others. Every industry, everywhere you go, there's going to be people that are better. And they all might have the same goal. They all have the goal of selling children's books. They all have the goal of having a church. They all have the same goals. What makes some people achieve better than others? It's not the goal. It's the steps they take to achieve those goals. So you must define the steps and you must refine the steps. If I'm going to lose weight, then what actions do I need to take to lose weight? And how do I refine those actions to make them better and more effective? How do I refine the actions of saving money, of getting out of debt, of selling more books? And this is where the whole husband, wife, father, mother thing comes in, right? He'll say, I want to be a better husband. Okay, well, that's what you said last year and the year before that, and you still stink. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. Okay, but let's dig into that. Let's dig into that. What would make you a better mother? I mean, if you say, I want to be a better mother, I want to be a better husband. Okay, well, then obviously there's something you're failing at. There's something you're missing that makes you feel like I'm not where I should be. And all of us could say that. So what needs to change for you to not be the perfect husband or the perfect wife, but to be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better employer, a better employee? Dig in, define the steps, and then refine the steps. Make them better. I'm having a staff training in the month of January, and I've been telling the staff guys about this. You know, at Verity Baptist Church, we're in the business of reaching people with the gospel. And don't let that word offend you. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. The book of Acts talks about the fact that they brought in the deacons and set them over this business. This is our business. This is our industry, reaching people with the gospel. You know, we've got goals. We've got all sorts of goals and things that we've accomplished and things that we want to accomplish in the next year. But I'm going to be teaching them a lesson about, look, there's really only, it's not that complicated. There's really only certain reasons why people come to church. There's certain things that we have found over the years why people come to church. And there are certain reasons why people stay in church. So we need to define that and refine that. Make it better. Get better. get better at. And in different areas, we all have different strengths and we all do different things. I preach. That's my main thing. There's lots of things that I do, but there's only, you know, if I had to tell you what's the number one thing that I do as the pastor of Verity Baptist Church, I set the strategy, I set the plan, I set the calendar, I do the counseling. There's lots of things that I do, but if there's one thing that my job requires is for me to stand up 3 times a week and preach, and I have to preach, and look, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, and I hope you don't take this carnally, but I need to get up here and I need to be engaging and entertaining. You need to feel like you're actually learning something and getting something, or the church will begin to will stop growing and people will start leaving and start going somewhere else where they can learn and grow and be entertained. So we all have to get better. I tell our preachers this. You have to get better every time you preach. I can't, as the pastor of this church, I can't get up here and preach the same today as I preached 10 years ago. Sometimes people will send me emails, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the encouragement. People say, man, you preach a lot better now than you did 10 years ago. And it's like, you know, thank you. I'm trying. I'm trying to get 1% better every week. Now, here's the thing. 1% better every week, you may not notice that from this week to next week. You may not notice that from this month to next month, but you'll notice it from this year to 5 years from now. You'll notice as you're getting better, you're improving. So look, we must define and we must refine. We must define, what do I need to do in order to accomplish my goal, and how can I do it better? Now, if you're cycling, maybe it means getting lightweight suits and putting alcohol on the tires and doing all those things. If you're a mom, it might mean deleting Facebook. It might mean, you know, it might mean all sorts of things. I don't know. The point is this: figure out the steps needed to achieve your goals. Define them and refine them. Define them and refine them. Number two, go back to Philippians if you would. I'm giving you 4 steps to achieve your goals. We talked about 4 steps to set your goals, now 4 steps to achieve your goal. Number one, figure out the steps needed to achieve your goal. Define them and refine them. Number two, narrow your focus. Narrow your focus and do not try to do too much. And I'll tell you, this is where I struggle. I struggle with this. And oftentimes when we are recalibrating and recalculating our goals at Verity Baptist Church, whether it's at the beginning of the year or every quarter or whatever, one of the things that I'm constantly trying to do, and I'll talk to my wife a lot about it, I'll talk to the staff guys a lot about it, is what do we need to cut out? What are we doing? Because we have this tendency to just take on things. And what I've noticed in ministry is that in ministry, people are often trying to get you to take on things. You'd be shocked how many great ideas people have about, we should start this ministry, and we should do this ministry, and we should go there, and we should do that, and we should do all this, all these things. And here's the thing, all of it is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But we need to realize that we must narrow our focus and try not to do too much. Notice what Paul said in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And he says this, but this one thing I do. But this one thing I do. Paul says, you know what? I've got one, when it comes to ministry, I got one focus. And obviously we have different areas of life. But in every area of life, you ought to have a focus. When it comes to being a husband, you ought to have this one thing I do. When it comes to being a father, this one thing I do. When it comes to being a pastor, this one thing. This is my focus. This is the one thing I'm trying to accomplish. Paul said, but this one thing I do. We must narrow the focus. Do not try to do too much. See, often we fail because we're trying to do too much. Trying to do too many things. And we don't ever accomplish anything. There's a story of Warren Buffett, who's a successful investor. And he had an employee who he was trying to help. And he told the employee to write a list. This employee wanted to succeed and be successful. And he told him, I want you to write a list of 25 things you'd like to accomplish in the next 10 years. So the employee went home and took a couple days and thought about it, whatever, wrote down a list of 25 things that he wanted to do in the next 10 years, and he brought it back at his next meeting with his boss. And he said, I want you to sit down, and I want you to take this red pen, I want you to circle the 5 most important things in that list of 25. He said, take your time. He took his time, and he went through the list of 25 things, and he circled the 5 most important things. He said, now here's what I want you to do. For the next 10 years, your goal is to put all your energy, effort, all your time, all your focus, all your resources into accomplishing those five things. That's what you need to do. He said, now what do you think you need to do with the other 20? The guy thought about it and said, well, I don't know. Maybe those are things I should work on the side or on the weekends or when I've got some time. And he said, no. Those are the things that you are to never do under any circumstances. Because the enemy of best is not bad. The enemy of best is good. And oftentimes we have all these things we want to do, and they're all good things. You know, because the bad things we say, well, no, I don't want to do that. No, I shouldn't do that. That's not a good thing. But that's a bad thing. But when people bring you or when you accumulate, oh, I want to do all these things. They're all good things. But what's the best thing you could do right now? Look, and when it comes to setting goals, when it comes to achieving things, you need to ask yourself, you know, what should I say yes to? But more importantly, what should I say no to? What's the no? And sometimes it's not no for now. You know, and I've taught this to our church family in the past. Go to Galatians, if you would, Galatians chapter 6. The point is this, there's so many things that you can do. There's so many things you can do. The Lord has allowed our church to have a little bit of influence. And I'll tell you this, I'm often being asked to preach and to travel and to go to this event and that event and this conference and that conference. And I'll tell you, I've had to learn to say no. I've had to learn to schedule things out. We have learned, my wife and I have kind of figured out that, you know, something I can do is short trips once a month with the kids. And that's what we've done. I'm traveling in January to preach in Texas. I'm going in February to preach in Idaho. I'm going in March to preach in LA. I'm going in April to preach in Atlanta. So, it's kind of nice how it all worked out that way. No, it all worked out that way on purpose. I could say yes to all sorts of things. I could get on a plane if I wanted to every week of my life and go do something good and lose my kids in the process and lose my family in the process. Here's all I'm saying is sometimes you just need to say no for now. You know, there'll come a day in my ministry when my kids are grown and out of the house and married and serving the Lord, hopefully, and there'll be really no reason why my wife and I can't get on a plane every week and go preach somewhere and go do something and be back for Sunday and be back for Wednesday. But that's not the time now. That's not the 35-year-old version of me now that can do that. So you need to figure out what's the best thing you should be doing with your time and learn to say no to a bunch of good things. Because people are constantly trying to put something on your plate. And as a pastor, I feel like people are constantly just, we should do this, and we should do this, and we should do this. And sometimes I feel like an ogre. It's like, no, 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 no. But this one thing we do. This is what we're focusing on. This is what God has called us to do. Narrow your focus. Do not try to do too much. The enemy of best is not bad. The enemy of best is good. Number three, look for actions that produce the greatest results. Look for actions that produce the greatest results. Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Bible says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a law, and I've preached about it in the past, I won't take a lot of time to go into it, but there's the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule says this, that 20% of your effort will produce 80% of the results. This is true of everything. 20% of your customers will produce 80% of your sales. 20% of our church family will volunteer to do 80% of the work. It's just the way it works. It's a reality of life. So if that's true, and it is, then you should figure out what's the 20%? What's the 20% that must be done in order to accomplish the 80% result? And like I've already used as an example, for me, in my ministry, it's preaching. I have, you have these fear dreams where you have dreams that you, the things that you're fearful of, right? Everybody has those types of dreams. My dream that I commonly have is that I show up to church on a Sunday morning. There's 180 people here. The service is about to start. Brother Matt walks up to start the service, and I suddenly realize I did not write a sermon. That's my fear dream. That's where you say, Deacon? No, I'm just kidding. Look at your actions that produce the greatest results. For a farmer, look, a farmer can do lots of things. A farmer can break up the ground. A farmer can set up sprinklers, a farmer can set up fences, a farmer can organize and whatever. But you know what? If he never puts that seed in the ground, nothing's going to happen. And in fact, if he doesn't take the time to set up the fences, he doesn't take the time to do all these other things, but he gets that seed in that ground, I mean, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So figure out what produces the greatest results. What produces the greatest results? What action could you take that would help you be closer to your spouse? What action could you take that would help you to spend more time with your children? What action could you take that would help you become a better whatever you are, whatever you're doing? Be a better homeschool mom. Be a better pastor. Figure out, look at the actions that produce the greatest results, the 20% that produce the 80%, and do that. I was reading about a sales group, and again, I like to preach these. I like to read these effectiveness and goals and stuff like that. I like this kind of stuff. I don't preach this stuff all the time. You get it once a year. Next week, we're starting the book of Esther, verse by verse, on Sunday morning. I hope you join us for that. But I was reading about this article about a sales group that was launched in a new region. I don't remember what they were selling. I think they were selling homes, but I don't think they were real estate. I think they were doing stuff with loans and stuff. And they set out this group, this new sales group of 5 salesmen into this new region that the company had never been. They were starting a new office. And they gave them some time to prepare. And 4 of the 5 salesmen went out to do all this market research, analysis research, and customer reviews and figure out, you know, the market and this and that or whatever. And one guy decided to do something different. That guy sold $75,000 in the first year, $250,000 the second year, $500,000 the third, fourth, fifth year. Eventually, this guy kind of became a rock star in this industry, and they're just like, man, this guy's like the sales genius. So they decided to get the whole company together, and they brought them all into one room and brought this guy in to speak and to ask the secret of his success. What is your secret to sales? And nobody asked him beforehand what it was. So he gets up in front of all his coworkers and he says, what I do is every day, I sit at my desk, and I have a little plastic cup. And in that plastic cup, there's 125 paper clips. And there's a second plastic cup that's empty. And I make a call. I make a cold call. No matter how it goes, good or bad, I take a paper clip from one cup and I put it in the other cup. And I don't allow myself to finish the day till all the paper clips from one cup are in the other cup. And what I have found is that if I make 125 cold calls a day, you become the best salesman in the company. And here's all I'm saying. He could have gone and done market research. He could have hired all these people to do surveys. He could have done all this market analysis. But what he found is in his industry, that cold call was a 20% that produced the 80%. And I would wager that in your life, in your industry and whatever it is that you're doing, there is something that brings greater results than anything else. So look for that action that produces the greatest results and do it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here's number 4. We'll finish up. Go to Leviticus if you would. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're going to go to Proverbs and we'll finish up. Say, Pastor, why would you take your time to preach this? Why do you read all these books and try to formulate them and help us with this? You know, here's what I found. If I can help you be a better husband, it'll make my life easier. If I can help you be a better wife, if I can trick you, if I can guilt you, if I can harass you, if I can bribe you into reading the Bible, it'll make your life better. It'll make this church better. It'll make my life better. So look, I want you to have goals. I want you to get better. I want you to get better 1% every day, 1% every week. When it comes to achieving goals, what must we do? Number 1, figure out the steps needed to achieve your goals. Define them and refine them. Number 2, narrow your focus. Do not try to do too much. Number 3, look for the actions that produce the greatest results. Number 4, look for ways to compound your efforts. Look for ways to compound your efforts. But let me just say this, without multitasking. Leviticus 26, look at verse 7. And ye shall chase your enemies, but they shall fall before you by the sword. I want you to notice this verse that God says in verse 8. And 5 of you shall chase 100, And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I want you to notice the Bible talks here about compounding efforts. You would think that you would need 100 soldiers to fight off 100 soldiers, but he says, hey, 5 of you can fight 100. You would think that you need 10,000 soldiers to fight 10,000 soldiers, but he says, 100 of you can fight 10,000. Look for ways to compound your efforts. What do I mean by that? Look for ways, you know, the phrase goes like this, killing two birds with one stone. Without multitasking. Look, multitasking is impossible. Your mind, your brain was not created to focus on more than one thing at a time. You say, I want to spend time with my wife while working. No, you're not. You can't. So what I'm talking about is not multitasking. If you have a task, this one thing I do. One thing at a time. Focus on one thing at a time. What I'm talking about is sometimes we can combine things that don't require focus. Both require focus. Here's an example. One of my goals for 2021 was to work on my Spanish. I'd like to create some Spanish content for our YouTube channel and for our ministry. But in order to do that, I wanted to kind of brush up on my Spanish and work on my Spanish. I started looking at different ways that I could do that and looking at different resources and things. And I found things that I thought I liked. And I thought, man, that's good. You know, I could do that, you know. And it takes about 30 minutes a day and 30 minutes every day and blah, blah. And I started looking at my schedule and I started realizing, I just don't have 30 minutes every day to work on Spanish or to work on this or to work on that. So I just started thinking, and I asked the Lord, Lord, help me to figure out how to do this, you know, and I thought about this. I'm doing 9 chapters a day in the month of January. I'm reading 9 chapters a day in the month of January. So this year what I'm going to do is I'm going to read 9 chapters a day in Spanish. I got myself a Spanish New Testament. I'm going to do all my Bible reading in Spanish this year. And I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm spending 30, 40 minutes reading the Bible every day, and I'm spending 30, 40 minutes working on my Spanish every day. Then I took it a step further. I have a goal of reading one secular book a month. Now, I realize that's not very impressive. My wife reads like one book a week. My kids read like one book every several days. So in my house, I'm the slow reader. But, you know, that's what I can do, one book a month. Well, I started realizing that some of these leadership books that I read and business books that I read, they translate them into Spanish. So what I started doing is getting those books in Spanish. Now I'm getting my personal investment reading in 20, 25 minutes every day and doing in Spanish. I'm working on my Spanish. Sometimes this is referred to as keystone habits, where one action ripples into multiple parts of your life. The point that I'm making is this: look for ways to be more effective. I've used this example in the past. My wife and I, we've tried to do our prayer time, you know, while walking the dog or while being on the elliptical. Being on the elliptical doesn't require any energy or focus on my mind. So I can be on the elliptical for 20, 30 minutes and get 20, 30 minutes of prayer in. Multitasking does not work with two tasks that require concentration. But sometimes you can compound your efforts and get more out of one task than you would if you did those separately. So look for ways to compound your efforts. Look for ways to make 5 soldiers fight 100 and 100 fight 10,000. Go to Proverbs 16. We'll finish up. Proverbs 16. I've been preaching to you on the subject of how to set and achieve goals. Part 1, how to set goals, 4 thoughts. Number 1, make your goals specific, not general. Make your goals difficult, yet attainable. Make your goals short-term, not long-term. Make your goals small, not big. Then part 2, how to achieve goals. Number 1, figure out the steps needed to achieve your goals. Define them and then refine them. Number 2, narrow your focus. Do not try to do too much. Number 3, look for the actions that produce the greatest result, that 20%. Number 4, look for ways to compound your efforts without multitasking. Now, let me just say this. In all of that, don't forget this. Involve God in your goal setting and achieving process. Proverbs 16, verse 9, the Bible says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Don't walk out of here this morning saying, oh, Pastor, you got me fired up. Next year, I'm going to make $5 million. Is that really what God wants you to do? Next year, I'm going to, you know, do this and do that. Hey, make your goals spiritual goals. Things that God wants for you to do. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Make sure that your goals are goals that God wants for you. Goals that are going to help your family. Goals that are going to help you grow spiritually. Goals that God would be happy with you doing. Paul said, hey, I'm pressing toward the mark, and the mark is Christ. The mark is God. Involve God in your soul getting setting and achieving goal process. And if you say, I don't have any goal. Okay, let me just give you, if you just have no imagination, let me help you. Here's a great goal. Here's a great goal that you should have. My wife and I have this goal every year, to not miss one service of church the entire year. Think how that would transform your life. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we have a goal. Even if we're out of town, we're on vacation, we find a church to go to. Well, I don't believe in this traveling while church time. Well, I got a better deal if I flew out. You go to church on Sunday. Make that a goal. I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to be in church. Here's a goal. Read the Bible cover to cover. We've been talking about it. Here's a goal. Go soul winning every week. 2021. I'm just trying to help you. If you can't figure out some goals, here's a goal. Become a tither. Look, figure out some things that you're failing at that you could be better at. And do those things. Involve God. Ask God. Ask your spouse. Ask me. We'll help you. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Go to Proverbs 13 and verse 12. We'll finish up right here. Involve God in your goal setting and achieving process. And let me just say this. You and your family will be happy when you live a life of purpose by setting and accomplishing goals. Proverbs 13 and verse 12, the Bible says this, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When a hope, something you hoped would happen, something you hoped you would do, got deferred, you didn't do it, that makes you sad. Makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, when you accomplish the goal, it is a tree of life. You know, accomplishing goals is a sweet thing. Accomplishing goals is a good thing. It's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for your family. Last year, we told our kids. We told them, hey, we want you guys to pray for us. We're gonna be trying to produce this book. We told them, you know, we're going to do it late at night after you guys go to bed. We're going to work on it, things, you know. But we're gonna do this. We want you guys to be aware of it, you know. And we were having them be involved, and they were looking at the drawings and giving their input, and they were reading it for us, and you know, all that stuff. And then we involved them. When we finished the book, and this isn't the book, this is book two. But I remember when we got book one the first time, the proof book, not the big order, but the one order. When we finished the book, my wife and I remember our kids kind of looking at it and going. One of our kids grabbed the book and said, wow, I can't believe that you guys did it. You set out to make a book and you did it. And you know, for my wife and I, that was probably worth it. If we never sold a book, that was worth it right there. Yeah. That our kids would look at parents who would say, hey, we have a goal. And then they watched us work towards it and they watched us accomplish it. And I hope that my kids will set goals for themselves and work at it and accomplish them. And I hope you will too. Because none of us have attained. We've not yet apprehended. We can all get better. So don't waste this new year. Make sure you set and achieve goals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. Because there is nothing that we can achieve. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we do without you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for my wife. I pray for our staff here at Verity Baptist Church that you would help us to set and achieve goals. And Lord, I pray for our church family. I pray that people wouldn't walk out of here thinking, that was a guy's sermon. That they would really think, how can I get better? Where can I get better? How can I accomplish more? What is the Lord trying to help me direct my paths in? Lord, help us to take some time to set some goals. and help us to take some time to achieve those goals. Lord, help us to be productive, not for production's sake, but to bring honor and glory to your name. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.